Shall we pray? Loving God, we thank you for your word that comforts us in good times and in not so good times. Pray that as we hear your word broken open now, it might inspire and equip us for the journey ahead. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Do you have a seat? So lovely to be in front of you preaching instead of a computer screen. It's not quite the same, and it's nice to be back together. And we do remember especially those today who are listening via the telephone who can't be with us. Now, I have been preaching on the last few weeks, if you've been watching the videos, all the different parables. When I sat down to write this sermon, I thought, well, we're continuing the same vein, but God obviously had other ideas and wanted me to preach on Romans 8, because I had absolutely no inspiration for the parables, which, you know, seems ridiculous because there's so much in there. But God really spoke to me through Romans 8. So that's what we're going to be following along, if you want to keep that in front of you. 18 Sundays have passed since the last time that we met together as a church family in this building. But obviously, we've still been meeting via the telephone and in person in the village and online. And here we are again together today, mostly unscathed, and for the most part back together again. We have lost two precious sisters in Christ, Gay and Sheila Ross, who have gone to be with the Lord. And some of our friends still can't be with us today because they are shielding. And yet, remarkably, here we are. Apart from the masks and the chairs being slightly different, we might never have known that anything had happened in those 18 weeks in between. And yet, of course, we do know, don't we? We've watched the news with apprehension to see the unfolding of this virus as it has spread across the world. And some of us have seen the impact amongst our own family and friends. And so it seems fitting then to look at this reading from Romans 8 as we try to make some sense of what has been and where we are now. In this reading, Paul asks of his readers from the church in Rome seven questions. Seven is always a perfect number in the Bible. It kind of rounds things up nicely, and each one has an answer to them. What are we to say about these things? Question one. If God is for us, who is against us? Question two. He who did not withhold his own son, but gave up all for all of us, will he not also give us everything in the same way? Three. And it goes on. Question, question, answer, answer. And I feel like we too have many questions to ask of God and of one another. How are you? How have you been in lockdown? And bigger existential questions. Why did it happen? When will it end? When will we be able to come to church without wearing a mask? We might find maybe not the specific answers that we ask, but more general answers amongst this passage from Romans and amongst the statement he makes at the beginning. So let's begin there in verse 26. It says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not pray, know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words." Perhaps we've not known how to pray during the pandemic. Where do you begin when it's such a global happening and also so very local as well? How do we begin to pray for an end to this virus when scientists don't even fully understand it yet? Do we pray for it to end, or do we pray for a vaccine to prevent it happening again, or are we praying for both? How do we begin to pray for our brothers and sisters in developing countries where they don't even have the luxury of hand washing, let alone all the alcohol gel that we have? In this reading, Paul reassures the people of Rome that when they don't know how to pray as they ought, Then the Spirit intercedes with groans too deep for words on their behalf. And the same is true for us. When we are at a loss of what to say or pray, then we can turn to the Holy Spirit, who will speak to God on our behalf. It says, God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, who intercedes according to God's will. So when we don't know what or how to pray, when it just seems too desperate and too big, then we can ask the Holy Spirit to pray for us, that God's will be done. An example of not knowing how to pray on a smaller scale might be a decision that we have to make about our own circumstances. Do we come to church or not? Well, you've obviously decided to be here this morning, but it's still a decision, isn't it? And when we're not sure what's the best action to take in a particular circumstance, when there's negatives and positives for both actions, we can bring an open heart before God and ask the Holy Spirit to direct us in the best way to go. I think the difficulty comes is when our minds are already made up, that it's hard for us to hear the Spirit's leading because we've already decided in our hearts, and perhaps stubbornly so sometimes, that we're going this way and no other way, and it doesn't matter what happens, then we're not really open to God's guiding so much. Praying as we ought is an interesting phrase because God knows our hearts are often selfishly directed in the way that we think would be best for us, but we don't always take others into account, or at least I don't. So we might think a certain action is better for us, but the impact can be like a ripple effect when we drop a stone into a pond and you can see the ripples go out. We can't always see the repercussions of our actions, but God can, and God knows what the end outcome will be. So this reading is really saying, when you're not sure whether it's this way or that way, when you have a choice, then it's better to come before God with that openness and to say, I'm not sure what to do in this circumstance, Lord. An open heart and an open mind. And then hopefully we'll see the best outcome rather than the one that suits us best for now. But we don't need to really worry too much because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God and the will of God. So if we're doing our best, as it were, then that's enough. And verse 31 says, God is working all things out for our good. If God is for us, who can be against us? When our hearts and minds are aligned with the will of God, then we can't go too far wrong. So how do we know if we're in God's will or not? Well, in verse 28, it says, we know all things work together for good for those who love God. It doesn't really matter if we mess up in making a couple of decisions that are not so good. You know, when we were trying to decide whether to open the church or not, Anne and Richard and I were meeting, and with Eleanor and Phil, trying to discern a way forward. You know, you almost feel like, should we open the church now? Should we wait a bit longer? We're not quite sure. So we're trying to discern the will of God. But really, as long as we're trying to be in the will of God, then hopefully we will go the right way. But it doesn't really matter in the end because it says all things work together for the good of those who love God. It's more about the relationship with God and us trying to align our minds and our hearts with God than actually making the right or the wrong decision. What's God whispering in our hearts to us at the moment? What's God speaking to us? It's better to be listening to that voice than perhaps other voices of the people around us. Because it says we've already been chosen as God's people, and there's nothing that we can do, nothing, doesn't matter what we do, when we're in right communion with God, that can separate us from the love of God. It says not even death, not life or angels or rulers, things that are happening now, things that are yet to come, nothing can be a barrier to us knowing God and God knowing us. And it also says in our reading that Jesus died and was raised, and he too intercedes on our behalf. When we are following Jesus, then, it says, not even hardship or distress or persecution or famine or war can separate us from his love. It doesn't actually say virus here, but it might as well. And then in verse 34, the question that's asked is, who is to condemn us? Who can make us feel bad? Who can make us feel not great about ourselves? Well, according to this, no one. If we know Jesus and Jesus knows us, then not a virus or a person or a war or powers can come between us and God. In verse 37, it says, in all these things, famine, war, viruses, we are more than conquerors. We've more than conquered because of Jesus. Because he's already gone to the cross for us. He's already died for us. He's taken the weight of our sin upon himself. And so there's nothing that we can face that he hasn't already faced before. God knew that this virus was going to happen. There's nothing that we could have done to prevent it, but we can decide how we're going to respond, and that is a choice that we make every day. Are we going to be a victim of our circumstance or a victor in the victory of Christ? Jesus has already won the battle. He is the victor. Are we going to be victims or victors with Christ? It doesn't matter what we face in life or in death. We have the victory through Jesus. Now, we know it's hard when we face pain and suffering, when we feel that things are happening to us beyond our control, but we can choose how we respond, whether to have that victim mentality. I always get ill. I'm not sure God loves me because I always seem to suffer more than my friends. If God loved me, why would I be in this circumstance now? Or we can turn that narrative on its head and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that in spite of all that I have gone through, in spite of the turmoil that I faced in my life, I can sit here today and say that I am yours and I am still victorious because you love me, and nothing can happen to me or my family in life or in death that can ever separate me from you. In you, Jesus, we have the victory too. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that just the most amazing thing? That whatever we're dealing with today, whatever's going on in our home life, that we have the victory because of Jesus. So, today we have a choice to settle for less than God's best for us, or to rise up and say, with you, Jesus, I can face anything. I can wear a mask to church if I have to. I can sit separately from my friends and family if I have to. Because with you, God, I am never alone. And even when I don't know what to say and I don't know what to pray, you can lead me into all peace. You can pray on my behalf, and I need never be afraid. So I'm just going to finish on this note. We might be praying today for God to take away all of this, the need for masks and social distancing. And my prayer is that too, to see an end to this virus. But in the meantime, we can cling to the hope that not even the coronavirus can separate us from the love of God, and not even death can keep us from his care and his shelter. I pray today that St. Mary's Shire Hampton, we would choose to be victors instead of victims. And as we close, I wonder if I could ask you to join with me as we read verse 38 together. So let's say this sentence together, verse 38 and 39, convinced that all of these things cannot happen to us or separate us from God's love. We say together, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Lord, we thank you that that promise today is ours, that nothing can come between us and you, not a mask, not a virus, no wars or weapons fashioned against us can stand, because today, Jesus, you have the victory. You have already won life for us upon that cross, and so we claim it today, Lord Jesus, as truth in our lives and in the lives of those we love and pray for. For your name's sake, amen.